You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says goodbye to Michael. Check that Micah Parsons. That's a real quote, by the way. And Goody at Green Bay says hello. And what can only be called the biggest Packers trade since Reggie White. Sports reporter Mike Clemens has the latest from Lambeau. Bucky jumped around last night and kicked off its football season with a less than impressive win. But more importantly, will they be saying goodbye once again to their starting quarterback? We will have an update. There's MAGA problems for Republicans on this news dump Friday. The bad Bradley hangs up her robe on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and Joni Ernst is saying goodbye to the U.S. Senate in Iowa. The GOP is out of sync, we'll discuss. And in hour two, we'll say hello to our old friend and my former broadcasting partner, Kevin O'Connor, a Chicago native now at UW-Milwaukee, to discuss the great Lee Corso saying goodbye to College Game Day. And what's worse, on this Friday, the 29th of August, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan today, can they both kiss their seasons goodbye? Welcome in, everybody, to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show. It is Friday, August 29th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Aaron Zommer's on the board. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite and a particularly great day to be a Packers fan. Busy, busy news and sports day. We're going to get right to it and go live to Lambeau Field in Green Bay. You know him, you love him. Nobody knows the Green Bay Packers beat better than our very own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who joins us via the phone. Mike, give us the latest on what could only be, I think, in my opinion, characterized as the biggest Packers deal since Reggie White, making Micah Parsons now the highest paid NFL player that is not a quarterback. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
What's amazing about this, Todd, is even though it was in broad daylight, it was still pretty stealth. Because where were you when this thing broke at a little after 4 o'clock last night?
I was running errands. I was to the grocery store, actually, when it broke. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. You know, but did you see it on your phone? Or,
yeah, no, it popped up my phone. Well, I mean, there was a certain sports reporter that gave me an inside line, and I couldn't air it. But
oh, well, that was me then.
Yeah, that was, and I thought, wow, this will be something if it happens. And then we got done with the show, and shortly thereafter, my phone just started blowing up, and I'm old enough, Mike, that I was going to school at UW-Platteville when Reggie White came to the Packers, and our communications professor, Krista or C. Ray Coel was her name. She was a devout Christian woman. And when the news came, you know, over the wires at that time in 93, 94, when Reggie White came, and she started saying, we were in class, and she started saying, oh, sweet Jesus, don't let this be true. Oh, because she was from Philadelphia. She was an Eagles fan. So it's one of those things you remember for the rest of your life if you're a Packers fan.
Yeah. Now, you know, one big difference is this is a huge trade. The Packers gave away a lot for this thing to happen. Reggie White was the Packers jumping on this new thing called free agency in the NFL. And they lured him to come here. And I'll never forget, after he met with Ron Wolf and the new head coach, you know, Mike Holmgren, then it was time for dinner. It was kind of late in the day. And the only place left that they could go to was the Red Lobster, which is still here. Down the street on Lombardi Avenue, you know?
I saw you tweet that out. I'm like, no way. They took Reggie White to the Red Lobster?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if LaFleur and Goody took Micah Parsons to the Red? It's still standing down there.
That would be amazing.
It's not one of the 400 stores that closed. But right. Significance. Okay, so Micah Parsons is this guy who's just taken over the coaches, and their jaws drop when they watch the tape. He's a pass rusher. He's the best in the business. He's been doing it now for 3-4 years in a row. As a matter of fact, you know, his averaging over a dozen quarterback sacks a year has only been matched by Reggie White some 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Micah goes to the Cowboys in March. He's on the fifth year of his rookie contract and says, okay, let's kick this up, Jerry. Jerry makes him an offer in March, and then sometime later after that, Parsons says, let's make that a little bit more. Because he wants to be the highest paid player ever in the NFL to make that money outside of a quarterback. And then this thing goes on, and then Jerry Jones likes to drag this stuff out.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's a documentary on Netflix that proves that. What, do you remember the game when the Packers played the Cowboys in Texas at the old stadium?
Yeah.
It was the night when Terrell Owens poured the popcorn in his face mask.
Yes.
Brett got hurt. Aaron Rodgers came in and looked pretty sharp, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Filling in, but the Cowboys ended up winning. So as timing would have it, I'm leaving the press box after the game, go down to the locker room and talk to the players and coaches. And as the doors open, here comes Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones' son, and the rest of the, you know, Cowboys front office. And we get on, and the doors close, and Jerry turns to Stephen and those other guys and goes, now this is big, right? I mean, this is Cowboys dominate, you know. He's writing headlines. He's writing headlines. I've been around him two or three. Remember Wade Phillips?
Of course, the head coach?
So the Cowboys came up here to Lambeau Field. They lost the game at the last minute. It was a big disappointment. And then Jerry makes himself available to the reporters outside the locker room in the hallway, just outside the visitor's locker room. There's 30 or 40 people from Dallas that are there covering him, putting the microphones in him and saying, you know, well, how disappointing is that? Now your season's over. You know, are you going to make changes? And he all but says, yeah, I'm going to fire the guy, you know? And it makes him sit, you know, a veteran like that who eventually went on and got a Super Bowl trophy as the defensive coordinator for the Broncos. So this is the way Jerry Jones is. He's milking it. But at some point, I guess this thing becomes, you know, irreconcilable differences. And the Packers call him, and they give up two first-round picks and Kenny Clark, one of your team leaders, a defensive lineman, going into his 10th season here. And when you're with Brian Gutekunst, I mean, in February, as late as February, we asked him about, would you ever make a big swing at something in free agency? And he said, you know, that's two draft picks. And he's conservative like Ted Thompson. Like,
sure.
You know, it's one player can't win a Super Bowl. You know, you have to build a team. And so, and I can't imagine giving away that many picks. But then, it sounds like he changed his tune this week, right?
Yeah, we're talking, by the way, to our great sports reporter here at Civic Media, Mike Clemens, who follows the Packers beat like nobody else. He joins us live via the phone from Lambeau Field. And I know you were there at the presser this week on Wednesday, Mike, when Goody was asked about, you know, not specifically about a player, but what's his take on bold moves? Here's what Goody said on that.
I think you got to, first of all, it's your team and how certainly every decision affects your football team. Obviously, there's so many different factors in it, who the player is, you know, medical, you know, certainly, you know, cap wise. But yeah, I think, you know, you have to look at everything. Any opportunity to help your football team, you have to like look at and discuss as a group. And we do that all the time. I mean, we do, you know, I mean, it's almost daily, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, I think what someone might consider a bold move, someone else might not. You know what I mean? Like, we signed a practice squad guy today. I might consider that a bold move. You know what I mean? Somebody else might not. So, I think every opportunity that's out there to help your football team, we've always taken a look at, tried to see how it affects us right now, how does it affect us in the future, and make the best decision we can. Sometimes we've been right, sometimes we've been wrong. Sometimes we've taken risks that really worked out for us. Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes we didn't take risks, and we look back and we wish we would have. And sometimes, you know, as Ted used to say, you know, God helps those that can't help themselves a little bit sometimes. So sometimes the best deals you make are the ones you don't, you know. And so you just kind of, I think you weigh everything, and you weigh what is in the moment.
That is general manager for the Green Bay Packers, Brian Gutekunst, on Wednesday. We're talking with Mike Clemens, our sports reporter. That was ahead of this groundbreaking trade that the Packers made yesterday for Micah Parsons from the Cowboys of Dallas. And Mike Clemens, you were in that room. And I mean, you're around Gutekunst more than anybody, you know, as much, if not more, than most reporters out there. Did you sense that maybe there was something going on?
No, because I know where his values come in terms of Ted Thompson and Ron Wolf before that. So last night, you know, I thought the story would be Mark Murphy inducted into the Packer Hall of Fame. And so I had an appointment at 4 o'clock, and it was a small press conference we had with Mark before that. He was going to go out there in front of 1,500 people playing $300 a plate for a fundraiser and for him to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So they're talking to him, and, you know, he retired a month ago. He retired a month ago after 17 years as CEO and president. Yep. And during the presser, a guy standing back there by the cameras is looking at his phone and goes, Mark, any comment on the fact that the Packers have now traded for Micah Parsons from the Cowboys? And he goes, what? And then he starts to laugh. He says, I don't know anything about that. I'm not going to comment on anything. He says, that's probably AI, you know? You know, like a fake account or something. Right. And he blows it off. And then a couple of questions later, then the reporter from the Press Gazette, who covers the business end of sports, Rich, is very good at this, and he trusts him, and he says, Mark, the Press Gazette just confirmed Micah Parsons has been traded to the Packers. And he said, what'd they get for him? So I'm like, this guy is stunned.
Right.
He has no idea. He just ran the team for 17 years, and he's out of the loop. And to me, I'm thinking, is this what it's going to be like under Ed Policy, the new president?
Well, that was my follow-up question to you, Mike Clemens, is what your sense of this. Was this Ed Policy saying, I want to put my fingerprint on this right away? Was this something that kind of been in the works for Gutekunst? Where did this come from? Any sense?
I don't know yet. Yeah. We're going to talk to Goody at 5 o'clock today. They were going to do it this afternoon, and since you and I talked earlier today, they've kicked it up to 5 o'clock prime time. It'll be carried live, right, for that. Here's one thing we know for sure. Ed Policy didn't get in the way.
Yeah,
want to give away the next year and the year after that's first-round pick and a veteran leader like Kenny Clark? Let's roll the dice, baby. Let's go for it.
Well, in the couple of minutes we have left here, Mike Clemens, I mean, nobody has a crystal ball, but you got it. Most people are looking at this saying this is the piece they might have needed to truly make the Packers a legitimate Green Bay or a Super Bowl contender this year.
Do you remember the day that we found out that the Packers came up second and Khalil Mack went to the Chicago Bears, right, and all of Chicago said, here we come, Super Bowl? Right. How'd that work out?
Not so hot. Not so hot as it turned out.
But you know, I'll say this. You know, I think Micah Parsons is coming here because he was embarrassed about 18 months ago when the Packers went down there and beat the heavily favored Cowboys in that playoff game, that wild card playoff, I think it's like 48, 32 or so. And I think he was impressed by the other side, by the way that they had schemed him, the plays they were running, the efficiency, the coaching. Jordan Love is a young quarterback, and now he's joining the, you know, if you can't beat him, join him, kind of a thing.
Right.
And when you're talking about trying to get back the domination of the NFC North after what the Lions have done, now the Vikings, and now they've added Ben Johnson to the Bears, if you tell me that you got Xavier McKinney now on the back end with a secondary, you got Edgerrin Cooper, that speedy inside linebacker to stop the run, and now your pass rush is Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, look out.
It's going to be a fun season, Mike Clemens. I appreciate your time. You're a busy guy. Thanks for joining us, giving us the latest. I know you'll continue to do that, our sports reporting on the hour. Mike, thank you so very much.
Appreciate you, Todd. Always a great show. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you, Mike. Mike Clemens, everybody, our great sports reporter in Green Bay. Come on back. Billy Edwards Jr., the quarterback for the Wisconsin Badgers. Is he saying goodbye? We have new reporting from CBS after this. Don't go anywhere on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's Friday, TGIF, August 29th, 2025. We are live here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. A little rain, falling light rain here in downtown. Zommers on the board. He was there at the camp last night. Zommers was. The Badgers, Wisconsin Badgers, kicking off the football season. Lots of anticipation by some. But boy, I watched the game. I had it on TV, Big Ten Network, and I had the sound down. I was listening to LePang and Towser on the Badger Radio Network on via the Civic Media app. Actually, listened to WRCE last night on the app, and so listened to the game there and watched it on TV. A couple of takeaways for me. The positive side. I thought that the Badgers looked much more energetic, much more engaged. Their body language, their attitude on the field and on the bench was much better than I saw it last year, and that was a positive one. Number two, even though you're playing a MAC conference opponent, still Division I, and the defense had a shutout, give them credit for that, even though the offense for Miami of Ohio was not great, but the defense got a shutout. Defense looked okay. I thought that the offense, although they ran the ball more, was returned to the fullback position by all intent and purposes. That's good. But boy, the offense struggled. And probably most concerning, starting quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. went down. Zommers, quickly, what was your take last night being there at the game?
Well, yeah, it was my first time at Camp Randall. Very cool. And I'm glad I went. But yeah, there was a hush fell over the stadium. As we realized that he was on the ground and not getting up, like, oh no, this is bad, isn't it? Yeah. Thankfully, he was able to get up. But yeah, it was a little bit rough to watch, but we still did pull out a win. It was closer than maybe expected.
Closer than the experts predicted.
Which is what you said would happen.
As the great Lee Corso said, Sal likes to say, we're going to talk more about Coach Corso. I'll get it out yet. In hour number two here. Yeah, I said that Wisconsin would win 21-14. So they got the shutout, but it was about what I thought they'd score on offense. Here's new reporting. This is the important part from CBS within the last hour. Sources tell CBS Sports that the Wisconsin quarterback could return in time for that big game against Alabama in week three. Wisconsin quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. suffered a non-contact injury in the first half of the Badgers' season opener win over Miami of Ohio last night. And Zommers said, watching it on TV, he had handed off the ball and then was just kind of like finishing out the play, might have stumbled a little bit, but there was nobody by him when his knee that he had the brace on kind of gave out and immediately went to the turf and grabbed it. And the first thing you think of is, oh my gosh, an ACL and the Badgers have lost their starting quarterbacks in the last couple of years. And you think, oh my gosh, not again. But as you said, Zommers, he came back out of the tunnel and was in street clothes, was walking around, and was essentially served as a coach on the sideline for the rest of the night last night. According to CBS, the early word coming out of Madison per multiple sources is Edwards' leg injury is not expected to be a long-term issue. Full clarity is expected within the next 24 to 48 hours. But there is optimism building around the building that Edwards could return for Wisconsin's high-profile non-conference matchup with number 8 Alabama on September 13th. Wisconsin coach Luke Fickell did not have any updates on Edwards' status last night, though he expressed optimism that he was able to return to the sidelines in the 17-0 win. So again, I predicted a 21-14 Wisconsin victory, ended up being 17-0. Fickell said, quote, first things first, starting off, I don't have any answers on Billy. Don't know a whole lot. Good to see, though, that he was back out there and able to be part of the game with our team, things like that. Hopefully that was a really good sign that things are moving forward, but we won't have any updates right now, unquote. Edwards was a high-profile offseason addition for the Badgers from Maryland. He finished Thursday night's game 6-for-13 with 68 yards passing. Wisconsin inserted San Diego State transfer Danny O'Neill in Edwards' place. O'Neill led Wisconsin on a pair of second-half touchdown drives. I thought O'Neill looked pretty good. I mean, he was a starter, I believe, a true freshman starter at San Diego State last year and transferred to the Badgers. Daniel Neal and Billy Edwards Jr. were in a battle to be the starting QB for Wisconsin, and Edwards won out. But, I thought Daniel Neal did himself well last night. Congratulations to the Badgers on their 17-0 win. It really wasn't quite as big a win as that because I think the last touchdown was like 4 minutes left.
Yeah,
something like that.
The first half was just 3 points.
3-0. Three to nothing Wisconsin was your halftime score. And interesting that the Wisconsin Badgers, last time they played Miami of Ohio was 2015. And the score at halftime was 37-0. They went on to win like 56 or 58-0 in that game and gave, guess who? Paul Christ, his first win as head coach of the Badgers. So when you look at what they did against, obviously, two completely different teams as far as personnel and coaching. But, boy, I know people were harping at me yesterday that saying, well, you only said Wisconsin's going to get 4 wins this year. I wish them all the best. I want them to win. I'm a Cardinal White fan. But I think it's going to be tough.
Like you said earlier, their energy did look good.
Yes.
So there is that. That is promising. But the rest of it, a little not as strong as you might hope.
No. And I hear there's some news that we'll pass on when we're able to do it on the next game. The Badgers home game here coming up on the 6th of September. Looking forward to that with great anticipation. Come on back. There is more goodbye news. There are MAGA problems for the Republican Party. The bad Bradley hangs up her robe in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And who is leaving the U.S. Senate? We'll tell you on the other side. It's the Todd Lobel Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program on this TGIF edition. It is Friday, August 29th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome, everybody, to the world headquarters in a rainy, wet, a moist downtown Madison here. I didn't know we were supposed to get this much rain today, Zommers.
But no, it's pretty rainy, actually, a lot more than I expected.
That's right there. That's your fork. That's that. You can't get a better, more detailed current event than that. It's rainy.
Yes, it's pretty rainy outside. When I look out there, it looks wet.
The rain's supposed to pass by today. The rest of your Labor Day weekend looks very nice. In the 70s, mid-70s, then up to maybe the mid-70s, touching near 80 in some parts of the state on Labor Day proper. And then the bottom's going to drop out by Thursday here in Madison, expecting over only a high of 58 next Thursday.
Continue my quality forecast, that's a lot lower.
It's a lot lower, yes. So enjoy Labor Day weekend, everybody. If you're already on the road, drive carefully, as they say. Pack your patience. Nobody wants to be a jerk out there on the interstates. Be safe out there, or somebody could get hurt. And joining us this hour, you know him, you love him, my former broadcast partner at UW Platteville, now with the great marketing department in charge of branding at UW Milwaukee, but here on his own volition. He's on the injured reserve list, but still he's taking the time to join us from Milwaukee via phone. Here he is, Kevin O'Connor. How are you, Kev?
I'm doing all right. Good afternoon, sir. Your weather forecast sounds like the two guys still left at the National Weather Service trying to keep it all together.
That's right. That after all the cuts, that's all they just look out and say, yeah, it's raining.
Rainy and lower. Gotcha. Yep, perfect.
There's your complicated forecast. Well, Kevin, you were so kind as to join us when we were down at UW-Milwaukee, although you're out of town, but you called in. And here now, I don't want to go into too much detail, but you're recuperating, and here you join us via phone, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Yes. Now, I fractured my wrist earlier in the week in a, let's just say, an accident.
Right.
And we'll leave it there. Be patient on the roadways. That's what I would suggest to all those drivers.
That's
out
the
there.
Key.
I would echo that. But here we are, and you will boost my mood and spirits as I chit-chat away. I can talk a lot better than I can type right now.
I'm sure. I used to work with a guy that he literally had a brother that only had one arm. He lost one in an accident. And he used to go around the office and say, I'm busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
You know,
you can't say that anymore, but at the time said that.
I am not going to say that, but correct.
Anyway, it's great to have Kevin with us because big day, Kevin, in sports. We had our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, here on the first hour. Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer and is the highest non-quarterback in the NFL, now surpassing Wisconsin's own TJ Watt with the Steelers, who was until apparently the deal was signed a few hours ago in Green Bay. Kevin, you grew up in Chicago. You're a Bears fan. As a Bears fan, but lives in Wisconsin, just thoughts overall on this deal?
I mean, here's what I'd say, right? Like a few things, kind of processing it. And, when you heard in the news, him, Jerry Jones, arguing, might get traded, the Packers, all that. I think I would put myself in the same category as it seems like many media people, sort of like dismissing it, right? As like a negotiation, whatever. And when the news actually comes, my honest first thought is, that's insane for Dallas. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. And how could the Packers have said no? Like that if they had the opportunity to get a player like this who, you and I, we're not sitting here breaking down film, but let's take what people say as gospel, right? One of the best current defensive players, defensive linemen in the NFL. Like, you'd be crazy to not roll the dice. And you have people now saying, well, that takes you from, well, we thought you might be a top 10 NFL team to like, yep, let's really talk about them as a team that could be in the mix for the Super Bowl. It seems like a no-brainer. My Bears thought, or first of all, it's Caleb Williams is probably crying someplace knowing that this trade has occurred.
That's the first
thing that I thought of. It's certainly possible. And then the second thought, though, is if I then put, from a Dallas standpoint, if I would put myself in the Bears' shoes, if they were the team with Micah Parsons, and their owner got in an argument with him and they decided not to sign him. And then they traded him to a team in the same conference that I'm going to play in week four of the season or something. I would be calling for everyone to be fired. Right. So then I don't feel that way about the Cowboys. I don't care what they do, but that would be my other reaction. It's like, it seems insane. And I don't, for a minute, for a city that lost Luka Doncic not that long ago and can't get their arms around that. This feels remarkably similar.
Well, and your point, Kev, I was talking to my good friend Alex, a Dallas native, and went to school here in Wisconsin. He's back there. He has a lovely wife and new parents. Shout out to Alex. He listens in once in a while. Look, he's a Dallas boy through and through. And he said, I'm just done with this. Like he goes, thank God we got the stars because A, I can at least afford seats next to the glass for the stars. I can't afford decent seats at Jerry World. And then after losing Luka to Los Angeles, he's just sick about the Mavs. So yeah, I mean, my heart goes out to the Dallas fans because again, Kevin, you mentioned this. From all accounts, this became not professional, but personal. And it seems that Jerry Jones' ego got in the way that he refused to deal with Micah Parsons' agent and said, I'm doing this mano a mano or it ain't going to happen. And the agent and Parsons said, well, let's see what's going on. And correct me if I'm wrong, Kev, but I believe that Micah Parsons and Jordan Love share the same agent.
I do believe that's correct. And I think when you say it became personal, like that is always the problem, right? Like that's, And let's face it, people that have more money than you or I can literally afford to have it get personal sometimes, right. I guess. Like, one would assume Jerry Jones didn't make all this money by always making it personal, because that doesn't seem like sound business. But, you know, the value of the Cowboys didn't go down because he got in a fight with Micah Parsons, right? If he wanted to pass it on to his kid, whatever else. But the reality is, I would assume we can safely assume plenty of bad discussions go on between general managers in sports and agents in sports. Plenty of good ones too, but plenty of bad ones. Plenty of time where you hang up that phone and you would like to use every name in the book. And, you know, you can't do that. Like, does everyone think that everyone gets along with Rich Paul and to sign LeBron James, right? Like, you go through, you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that. You've got to put it aside. And I can't get my arms around it. And that turning personal seems extra extreme in this case, using that Luka comparison because of the same city. Like, some of the after stories make it sound like the Mavericks didn't get along real well with his people and all of that, but like, not to this extent where, besides, you know, some silly, oh, we weren't very good at stopping the run answer that Jerry Jones apparently gave yesterday or whatever. Right. There doesn't seem to be anything substantive. And even, again, using that comparison of Luka, like it or not, they were like, we don't think he keeps himself in good enough shape to give him this kind of money. I've not heard anyone say anything about Micah Parsons like that either, right? Like, I don't think anyone's like, whoa, I don't think he's worth the money. Again, I've not heard anyone with football acumen make that suggestion.
We're talking with Kevin O'Connor via the phone in beautiful Milwaukee, with marketing, branding and marketing, I always forget, I'm sorry. What's your actual title?
I'm the director of trademark licensing. That sounds so much more impressive.
I love that. Director of trademark licensing for University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, my former broadcast partner, sports director at WSUP, back in the old UW-Platteville, Kevin O'Connor, about this big, you remember, I talked about this, Kevin, in the first hour. We were at Platteville going to school together when the Reggie White thing happened. And our old broadcast professor, C. Ray Coel, a huge Phillies fan, or a huge Eagles fan from Philadelphia, was going around a campus going, oh, sweet Jesus, say it's not true. Oh, sweet Jesus. That's all she did, because she was a huge Reggie White fan. And nobody thought, Kevin, right at the time, that the Packers would ever get Reggie White. And here we are all these years later talking about another earth-shaking trade. In this case, it was a trade. Back then, it was an acquisition.
Right. And obviously then, take ourselves back, us oldies, because that is the first thing I thought of. And the shock there, as much as anything, was in that era of the NFL, no one would have thought a superstar would choose Green Bay.
Right.
That era is long gone, right? It is not. I mean, players only have, in this case, Micah Parsons still was, it seemingly probably stuck going wherever the Cowboys wanted to trade him, and he just wants the new contract. So who knows whether Green Bay is number one on his list or 10, but like, I don't imagine he has any misgivings about going to Green Bay. And that part of the shock, you know, isn't it? But there's no question. Like, think of what a future altering move that was, and how regretful, I realize now they've won subsequently, but how regretful to have let him get away on that other end of things in that Reggie White situation it was when he did what he did with the Packers. And if you told me this turned out similarly, it wouldn't be like, oh no, you're crazy. No chance. Yeah. Like, maybe it won't, but it's not ridiculous to think that it could turn out that same way.
Jerry Jones continued to make it personal for the Cowboys last night after the deal was announced with the Packers, letting Micah Parsons go to Green Bay. I believe his son was sitting next to him. And you know that Jerry Jones knows the guy's name is Micah, but he kept calling him Michael. Here's a cut from the Jerry Jones Cowboys presser last night after Parsons was announced to go to Green Bay.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
He's like, Michael.
There's it. Right? He was talking to Michael Parsons the whole time.
That's the problem. We've discovered the problem. He was talking to the wrong person.
Wrong guy. I got to tell you, I've just had about enough of confused people talking out loud all the time, like in general, you know, like just about enough, and Jerry Jones is kind of in that category, I think, at this point.
All right, let's open this up before we have to run here. Let's open up time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize, money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 10 news talk stations, sports stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Our category, as Mike Lucas is fond of saying, timely, timely indeed. The category today for what's worse, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan? Being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Download it on your iPhone or Android device. Simply type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute to download. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Well, Kev, we think she would if she knew about it. She calls the CBS app a deal. I think she'd say the same thing about ours. We'll see. We'll come back. We'll ask Kevin O'Connor, a lifelong Bears fan, what's worse today, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan after the Micah Parsons trade? Your phone calls as well. And Lee Corso hangs it up on College Game Day. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Let's go! And we're coming to your city.
For three decades plus, Lee Corso has been coming to your city on ESPN's College Game Day, and tomorrow will be his final headgear pick. Going to talk about that in just a little bit. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 23 now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Friday, August 29th. My former broadcast partner down in Platteville and now the marketing director extraordinaire of media, of branding. He is the king of Milwaukee media. Kevin O'Connor joins us via phone. Always great to have Kevin along for the ride. And what's worse? The category today, what's worse after the big trade from the Cowboys to the Packers, Micah Parsons, now the highest paid NFL player who is not a quarterback. What's worse today, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Sarah in Madison, listening on WMDX. Sarah, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan? What's worse?
Cowboys, because Texas.
That's it, just Texas.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, thanks, Sarah. Appreciate you. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Thanks for calling in. Kev, you're a Bears fan. What's worse today, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan?
I mean, I got to really say, as much as the arrival of Micah Parsons is concerning, if you're a Bears fan, I really got to say, I think it's worse being a Cowboys fan right now. Right? That's I don't know that there's not a lot of light at the end of that tunnel necessarily.
I think you're probably
the Bears got run over by that train 20 years ago. And we've already given up on that. The Cowboys have hope. So I think the wound is newer if you're a Cowboys fan.
I think you're going to have a lot of company on that. Mark in Prayer to Sack texting in saying being a Cowboys fan is worse. Jerry Jones is lower on the evolutionary ladder than pond scum. Well, tell us how you really think, Mark. Jim in Brookfield listening in to WAUK says, I'm sure most Packer fans would say being a Bears fan is worse. However, since Jerry Jones took over the Cowboys, I'd say being a Cowboys fan is worse. Jones can't even get the name right of the star player he just lost, Jim, in Brookfield. Brett, listening to beautiful Brown Deer, says, as a lifelong Cowboys fan, nothing's worse than being a Bears fan. Can't live in 1986 forever. Wow.
John in West Bend said much the same thing. A Bears fan because they're still living in 85.
Wow. Joel, listening to beautiful Rothschild, says being a Bears fan is worse. Steve in Milwaukee, Cowboys, especially because of Jerry Jones. So I don't know, Kevin. I agree. I just think that because my friend Alex brought this up, and you know, I mean, you live most of your life now in Wisconsin. The uniqueness of having the Green Bay Packers not having, you know, back when Kevin and I were, we used to make, remember, for those of you who are Kevin and I's age-ish, Marge, I used to call her Marge, she ought to be shot, the owner of the Cincinnati Reds, right, Kev?
Cincinnati Reds, yeah. Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that was a terrible owner. And now you got Jerry Jones, and it's just nice to have a team like the Packers that can never be sold, can never be moved, and, you know, not obviously the quote-unquote owners don't really own the team, but I think it's just something refreshing about that, Kevin.
I mean, that does remain, right? It's so interesting as the world of sports has evolved. It's such an anomaly, and probably the gap between how that manifests itself with the Packers and how it does with so many owners, right? The mega, mega, mega million billionaire owners, right? It's not just, oh, rich people own sports teams. Like, there is no comparison to the way the Packers are owned and operated, quote unquote, to the way the Dallas Cowboys are owned and operated. It's like they're running completely different businesses, right, even though we know for sure they are not.
Yeah. No, it's, we'll do some more what's worse. I know Kevin has to run here at the bottom of the hour because he has to put his arm up. He has professional nurses that come in. He's going to be fed grapes by people down there today. Kevin, you and I used to cover Platteville sports, but whenever we were on the road at a beautiful Hampton Inn, the hotel of Kevin and I's choice when we're on the road, we'd often tune in college game day to watch what's happening in D1. We were D3. Your thoughts on Lee Corso's last headgear pick tomorrow on college game day?
Yeah, boy. I mean, you know, when you brought that up as something we could chit chat about, just like it does, speaking of living in the 1980s right. and 1990s, yeah. Right? But when you think about what happened in that time, when it came to what ESPN meant to all of us as both sports fans and in yours and I's cases, aspiring broadcasters, right? The concept of this shoulder programming, the concept of bringing entertainment to sports again, you and I liking the sports radio format that turned just arguing about sports into a more entertainment form. And I think what I just think about the most with Lee Corso, along with all of those things, is, you know, one thing in one of my previous roles at UW-Milwaukee, doing communications for athletics and encountering a lot of former coaches who are now analysts, right, doing TV broadcasts and stuff. And there were some that were pretty good at it and a lot of them that really weren't very good at it. And a few that put in the time and a lot that were just waiting for their next coaching job. And some were very early, it seems, and based on now all the accounts, right? Lee Corso figured out early on, you know, I could be pretty good at this broadcasting thing. And he really put himself into that. And I mean, what a remarkable decision by him. Instead of trying to go back and like coach a few more years someplace, he fully put himself in both the analyst / entertainer role. And look where it got him. And look how many imitators, both shows and people, there are now of him and the basketball equivalent.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.